Hello, hello. Welcome back to the CTO Studio. I, of course, am your host, Nikolai Walker, on the mic and in your ear, my favorite place to be. Now, this is part two, and it is the finale here for our Jonathan LaCour segment, which is a bummer, but there's more guests and more people to get to, so let's get more information. So we're going to join them where they're talking about IoT for Etienne's hot tub. And I'm just wondering, if you can do it for a hot tub, can you do it for me? Like, is there any way that I could just be automated so I could get out of parenting? Here we go.
Yes. So, in my world, I would then use the same input. I would speak into my phone and say, yo, hot tub on. And then it would connect probably in the same. I also have a Synology, so I could probably do the same setup. The unknown here would just be, how do I interface with the Pentair?
Find out if it has an API, and you and I can have a hackathon sometime when next time I'm down in San Diego, which should happen relatively soon, right?
Wait a minute. So, Jonathan, I just have to ask, did you find a place in San Diego? Let's clear that up.
We didn't find a place, but we did sign with a real estate agent yesterday to talk about putting our house on the market here in LA. So, no decision yet.
Because I would consider it a mini victory for the San Diego tech scene to get someone from the LA tech scene.
I don't know if I could call myself some sort of player in the LA tech scene, but that's why I wanted to go to San Diego, is because maybe I can make a bigger splash there.
You know? I love it.
So interestingly though, on the hot tub, so I also use Homebridge to control my grill, which I think we talked about last time, right?
No, we didn't at all talk about that.
How did we not talk about this? So I have a smoker, like a Big Green Egg. Have you ever heard of one of those before? It's like a charcoal grill and smoker, and I have this little it's actually a MIPS microcontroller like thing with a CPU fan that plugs into the air intake on the bottom, and it has a couple of like temperature probes. You put it inside, and I can, you know, it's a commercial thing you buy, and you can just, you know, plug it in, and it, like, I didn't do any of that part, but it does have an API. So I actually wired it into HomeKit, and so now I can say, you know, Siri, what's the temperature of my Big Green Egg? And I actually expose it as a thermostat. So it's incredible because there's a thermostat type of thing in HomeKit because, you know, so I have two thermostats. I have a thermostat for the temperature of the grill, and I have a thermostat for the temperature of whatever it is that I'm cooking in the grill. And so I can be like, Siri, you know, what's the temperature of my Big Green Egg? And it'll say, your Big Green Egg is currently at 223 degrees and warming up to 225. Right. And I can actually set it as well. I can say set it to 250, and then it turns on a little air intake fan and sucks in more oxygen, feeding the charcoal and making it hotter. I did a whole like presentation at a bunch of AWS events about this. It all runs on AWS. It has a website. So there's actually charts and graphs of all my cooks, and you can see like all of the data stored in a big data lake in S3, and it's all built on Lambda. It's super fun.
So I definitely need you to do that presentation to us. That is something I very much like about you is sort of whenever I talk to you, I feel excited by technology again.
I'll take that, because technology is exciting, and you just have to have somebody to talk about it with.
I think it's because of your indie web, like this can be done. Like, I think a lot of times when I think about technology, I've been coding since I can remember, and I started coding like little, keeping track of my pocket money or keeping track of the top 40 songs as they went up and down the charts. And I'm talking, I think I was like 11 years old when I did this. But as it becomes something that you study and you get your computer science degree, you take all these tech jobs, your hobby becomes your profession, which no longer is your hobby. And I think maybe that's what I'm trying to say, is I think I feel like technology is genuinely a hobby of yours as well as, you know, your life. And so, or maybe it isn't. Maybe you just have a, you have a, you in, you have a passion for technology as the CTO of Mission. You love seeing problems solved, but you also have this hobby thing, which I find super inspiring. That's why I think about you when I'm in my hot tub.
Anyone else heard what I think I just heard, which is we maybe need to do like another podcast, and it's called The Hot Tub Sessions, because I'm just a little bit jealous that Etienne's not thinking about me in his hot tub. Or are you?
I think it's just because anytime anyone is boiling in water, they want to think about me. But, you know, you're not wrong. Like, I definitely, there was a time in my life, I've been programming like you since as long as I can remember. I remember my first program that I wrote. I still have it. I still have the computer that I wrote it on at my parents' basement. I don't even know if it turns on anymore. But, yeah, I do love technology. And I would say it's definitely a hobby, but I will say that, you know, over time, as you're working professionally in technology, it does get exhausting from time to time. You want to go home and unplug and not really be, you know, fully connected in what's going on in technology. But I still do multiple projects a year where it's just like, you know what? This would be a really fun thing that gets me excited about technology again, right? And I'll do a thing like the smoker controller that I worked on, or the daddy board, which is solving a real problem for me during COVID. Like, this is an actual problem that I had. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to throw some technology at it and fix it. And it was a blast, and it got me excited again. And so I think it's important. Like, I definitely feel like the hobbyist side has faded a bit. I haven't had nearly the amount of time that I would like to work on my own personal website and to blog and all of that. As I would want. I've been a little bit disengaged with the indie web community of late, not because I don't believe in it anymore, but just I've been busy, right? There's other things going on in life. But I do think it's important as technologists, as CTOs, to like occasionally rekindle that flame. You know what I mean?
I think I keep thinking, I have a friend who keeps challenging me on like, what are you, where are your fun coding projects? Or where are you, what are you doing that's fun? And I just, this has turned into a bit of a personal therapy session, but I just find myself listening to your stories thinking, where is that guy that used to do that stuff? Now I just CTO stuff and talk about the challenges of how to grow and scale technology to help these startups. But where is my little daddy project?
To make you feel a little bit better about this, I have a kind of a thread with a bunch of friends on text. Former coworkers, people I've worked with for years and years. And one of them earlier today was like, hey, what are you all using now in Python land for killing processes reliably in a cross-platform way? And my reply was, I mostly make spreadsheets and PowerPoints now, so you can just ignore me. I suffer from this too, right? But, you know, how do you scratch that itch? How do you rekindle that flame, right? It's sort of like renewing your like wedding vows, right? Like, you know, you got to fall back in love again. Any problem that can be solved with tech, like your hot tub thing, like, dude, you've got to solve that. By the time we talk next time, I expect you to deliver me a report about whether or not there's an API. We could put together a strategy. We'll hack it together. We'll have some beers and we'll make it work, right? And it'll be fun.
I love it. That'll be my housewarming gift to you.
The hot tub? Thanks, man. It's real nice of you.
No, that's cool, man. No, I think that's an inspiring note, you know, for me to think on. And I think that effort it requires to turn that into a fun project, because I could see that being a fun project for my kids as well, because they're constantly saying, Daddy, the hot tub's too hot, or can I listen? You know, one of the Sonos problems we have is, again, uber first world problems, is my kids want to listen to the same story every night. And so we have Sonos, so it's pre-Alexa integration. So it's, so every time I've got to go open my app, I've got to go find Winnie the Pooh, and I have to go press play. And it's, and then there's a timer issue where I wake up at 2 a.m. and the story is still playing. And I think, why am I doing this to myself? Jonathan, why am I doing this to myself?
I completely agree. It's so funny. Like, literally, you could just take that entire explanation you just had, and you could transplant it over to some sysadmin sitting in front of a thing, running the same 45 commands again to restart the web server, pull the new thing, and be like, you know what? You could solve this with a shell script, right? So it's time to automate yourself out of fatherhood. That's what I think, right? Like, let's make this happen.
That's amazing. That's amazing. All right. Well, thank you so much to Giles McClure, who is the CTO of Mission Cloud. Mission is an AWS premier consulting partner. We will see you next time with more interviews, so do stay tuned. But do a little bit of house cleaning for yourself. Go ahead and subscribe to this podcast in iTunes. Do go check out missioncloud.com, check out 7ctos.com, and also go to the YouTube 7CTOs page and check out the video as well. As always, we will see you next time with another set of interviews.